to give the
for 2014 and 15. So those are the fishing years that we are talking about today. Specifically, the council will need to make motions recommending ACLs, commercial quotas, trip limits, and RSA percentages. Next slide. The dogfish stock is not overfished, and overfishing is not occurring. A stock assessment update was prepared by the Science Center in late summer of last year, subsequently reviewed by the Mid-Atlantic Council's SSC in September of 2013. Spiny dogfish biomass, that is the biomass of mature female dogfish, is about 33% above the FMP's biomass target. And fishing mortality is about a little less than 40% below the fishing mortality threshold. The stock assessment was prepared in order to provide the SSC with an indication of stock and fishery performance within the 2013 through 2015 multi-year specification period. In other words, we had already specified management measures for 2013 through 2015, so this was supposed to be a checkup to make sure that everything was going as expected. However, upon receiving the updated biomass estimate, it occurred, to the SSC that they were forced to consider that new information as the current and best available science, and therefore the SSC revised its ABC recommendation for 2014 and 2015. So that gave the councils the option of acting on those revised ABC recommendations. So it was an option because the ABC went up, and so it wasn't necessary to then raise the ACLs. But as you shall see, that's what we did in the Mid-Atlantic. The next slide is a brief bulleted list from our fishery performance report. Prior to the SSC meeting, the Spiny Dogfish Advisory Panel met to develop a fishery performance report. And so here are a few of the issues that were noted by the AP when they met in August of last year. One thing, the dock price of a dogfish at the time was about half the usual amount, the 12 cents a pound. There was very little demand for spiny dogfish at the time. There are ongoing issues with the export market that have really hampered the ability of processors to accept large deliveries of dogfish. And also, given the issues with the export market, there was an initiative last year, and perhaps ongoing, to develop more of a domestic demand for spiny dogfish. As that effort progresses, that one suggestion was that the name spiny dogfish may be a bit of a hindrance to the development of a domestic market. So, alternative names have been suggested, and we've gone so far as to find out what we would need to do to or what the limits are for changing the name. It's very unlikely that the American Fisheries Society, which is sort of the gatekeeper on official common names, that they would approve any kind of market-driven name change. But the USDA guidelines suggest that there's ample latitude for alternative market names. One AP member commented that he has unpublished evidence. This is a scientific AP member. Okay. One AP member commented that he has unpublished evidence that beyond the widely held view that the dogfish are predators on juvenile codfish that they may also, the species may also be competing for food resources, like-sized codfish and dogfish. The triplet, currently 4,000 pounds, came up for discussion. It was suggested that perhaps, a single across-the-board triplet might be a little too simplistic. There was discussion about perhaps tailoring triplets to different vessel types and vessel needs. The subject of limited access came up. That was one of the issues that was scoped in the latest amendment to spiny dogfish. Didn't survive to the end, but there was some consideration within the AP that it may have some potential in minimizing some issues that in the spiny dogfish fishery, mostly to do with protected resource issues. The large and largely unexploited male component of the dogfish stock could be the target for a directed male dogfish fishery. If that were to develop, it would be quite different. It would likely be a different market from the current back and belly flat market that exists for females. They're out there. Somebody can figure out how to get to them. If the fishery was to be managed in a way with different quotas and things for males versus female dogfish, then that amendment would have to be done. And finally, there was some discussion about the adequacy of the current single unit stock viewpoint, whether there might actually be separate stocks with different migratory patterns. So those were the issues that were discussed by the AP. In the next slide, these are figures that are taken from the quota monitoring page on the regional office's website. It's a comparison, basically, of the spiny dogfish landings rate, the current rate. For a given figure is the blue line with the dots on it, and then you have the previous year in yellow, and then there's a green line, which would be the stable landings up to the quota. And you can see that this figure has two graphs on it, and the top one is for the 2012 fishing year, the bottom is for the 2013 fishing year. This was presented to the AP and also the SSC during their discussion. And we can basically see on the bottom figure there's underperformance relative to the previous year, and in the top figure, which is there's underperformance relative to the year before that. So 12 underperformed relative to 11, 13 underperformed relative to 12. If we go to the next slide, then we bring those the time series more toward the current, and you can see that the 2012 fishing year, it caught up and more approximated the rate of catching the quota. Never quite got there, but by this time last year, it seemed to be heading in that direction. But for the current fishery, we're doesn't look like we're going to get anywhere. We're near the quota. In fact, it's likely to be about one-third of the 2013 quota that has landed. Next slide, please. And then, just to do an extrapolation exercise based on the rate of landings, you can see that it comes out to about 34% of the current quota. Okay. And next slide. So to continue the review, 2014 is year two of a three-year specification period, and the ACL commercial quota and triplet that were specified for 2014 are given here. Okay, next slide. And here's 2015 is your three-year specification period. You see the management measures specified there. So they're very much, you know, fairly consistent with one another. 55 million pound ACL and a 42 million pound commercial quota. Okay, so following review, next slide, please. Following review of the updated stock assessment, stock conditions improved quite a bit, and what we have here is a table. There's a lot of information on it. I've put circles on the kind of values of interest, and so starting in the top left, we have a 55.5 million pound ABC specified currently for 2014, and then given the ABC update, we see that in the circle number to the right of that it jumps up to about 61 million pounds. And so at the bottom, we have a quota, and this table describes how we derive the quota. At the bottom, we have the quota of about 42 million pounds bumping up to a quota of 49 million pounds. Okay, and next slide, please. Here we have the same thing for 2015 with ABC going from 55 million to 62 million pounds. And then the commercial quota going from 42 million to about 51 million pounds. So given the updated assessment, that's what is allowed. And the question was whether the council would choose to do that, the councils would choose to respond to that allowance or not. And so in the next slide, at the Mid-Atlantic Council's October meeting, see that the council did choose to increase the commercial quota as allowed. Understanding that the market conditions are what they are, but given that these are multi-year specifications out to into, you know, through April of 2016, really, market conditions could indeed change, and so there was the sense that if either export market conditions were going to change or domestic market conditions were going to improve dramatically, and they didn't want to have a commercial quota that would in any way hamper the fishery from, you know, fully exploiting those opportunities. So the council specified at its October meeting the new allowable ACL commercial quota, 3% under Amendment 3, 3% RSA amount. Then I have trip limits, which are the other, management measure that is needed. That's grayed out because there was some discussion at the October meeting about alternatives to the current trip limit, currently specified trip limits, 4,000 pounds. So the next slide. So the council tasked staff to discuss with regional office and the AP what some of the options might be for spiny dodgers trip limits. And so this is kind of the output of that effort. And basically, you know, there are a lot of options, and some of them are possible through the specifications process, and some of them are not. Some of them would either need an amendment or a framework action. And so these are all the options that were discussed, and in the end, the council chose to maintain current trip limits at 4,000 pounds. So the next slide. So that's what this slide shows. You know, now we have the complete complement of Mid-Atlantic Council specifications for dogfish. And the next slide. And then if we back up chronologically to November, the last time the Mid-Atlantic Council talked about this was December to settle the trip limit issue. Then, but prior to that, and probably influential on it, in November the Commission just took up the revised or updated assessment and modified its specifications for 2014 and 2015, matched those that had been recommended by the Mid-Atlantic Council. They also chose to specify a 4,000-pound trip limit. So although it's not shown on this table, the row that's the bottom two rows, each row adds up to the total quotas that are specified for those fishing years in the previous slide with the Mid-Atlantic Council. Okay? So, next slide. It takes us to the end here. Again, the stock is not, there's no overfishing. The stock's not overfished. Fishery is, however, underperforming quite a bit. The SSC will revisit potentially dogfish in 2014, perhaps not in great detail, or they'll maybe look at different things. But there's the performance of the fishery and the performance of the stock will continue to be monitored. The revised specifications are listed here, and the trip limit at 4,000 pounds remains the same. And okay, so that's it. Next slide is blank.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Are there any questions from the council for Jim? Dave, Preble?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am at a loss to figure out why the MID wants to maintain a daily trip limit of 4,000 pounds in light of the fact that last year we reached 25%. The fishery is underperforming every year, and I'm at a loss to decide why, to figure out why we want to keep a trip limit of 4,000. We do have vessels in the northern area here that that can't make money on a $4,000 trip limit, and I think it should be higher. So is there some reason why the MID wants it to stay at 4,000 with an underperforming fishery?
Yes. Dave?
Yeah, is there any data to prove that the 4,000-pound trip limit is the limiting factor, that an increase in trip limit? Jimmy Yodlin was up here a little while ago saying that that doesn't always work out on a linear relationship. I just am curious as to whether there's any data that, any hard data that supports a 4,000-pound daily trip limit on a species that, as Mark pointed out earlier, he didn't say dogfish, but I know he was thinking dogfish. We need to we need to reduce that in order to limit the predation on juvenile cod. And I just, I'm, that 4,000-pound trip limit troubles me.
Okay, I think, Jim, a few hands up that might answer the question for you. Chairman Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick points. As Jim pointed out earlier in the presentation, when we met in December, we were following action that was already taken by the ASMFC at their November meeting. The product does have to flow through state landings, and so and some of the fisheries are being prosecuted in state waters also. So they had already adopted a 4,000-pound trip limit, at least in the northern states. But at the time that we met, the markets, the European markets for the product had become significantly limiting. And so you could have had an unlimited trip limit that would have resulted in potentially an increase in landings, but those fish wouldn't have had a place to go. So there was a, you know, there was a significant market limitation at that, you know, for the fishery, and I think for the foreseeable future. Now that could change if market conditions change in the future. But I think the other aspect of the trip limit is just thinking back to the ASMFC side of things. The trip limit does affect the flow of fish essentially between and among the states, and that, given the fact you have a very limited market at this point in time, you could significantly disrupt that fishery if you dramatically raise the trip limit. But it seemed like there wasn't a place for the fish to go, even if you did raise the trip limit. So, you know, if market conditions change significantly in the future, that could certainly be reevaluated.
David.
The trip limit really doesn't have anything to do with the state's waters fishery versus the federal waters fishery. It has everything to do with very few processors, very limited market that has become even more limited recently. And it's due largely to the fact that over the years, dealers, the few dealers that exist, have made it very clear that if the limit is increased too high, above 4,000, although 3,000 was the number they supported initially, 4,000 is what it is now, they said that they would have to tell fishermen who would want to sell their dogfish to them that they couldn't take that dogfish because they would have already met their capacity by a few fishermen. So this was an attempt by the states to spread it around as best we could amongst all of the individual fishermen who were catching dogfish as a bycatch in federal waters or directing in federal waters, wherever, state waters too, of course. So it's a number that we would love to raise up, but we can't do it now in light of the fact that the markets are so restricted and there are so few processors.
There are a lot of hands. Mark?
Thank you. I just wanted to point out, you know, for this council that we have a commission meeting next week and a coastal sharks and spiny dogfish board meeting. Spiny dogfish is not on the agenda for next week, but I'm anticipating there will be a request at the timing of setting the agenda for the day to have some discussion about this point, about potentially revisiting the trip limits, considering innovative ways to specify limits or lack thereof, things like aggregate landings programs, different limits within the states, potentially no federal limits so that we would not have conflicts between state and federally permitted fishermen, a number of different ideas I'm expecting to come forward. Unfortunately, we only have a one-hour time slot next week, but that usually seems to dissuade us from going into the evening. Thank you.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think I certainly understand the concern or the question. You'd look at this and say, well, of course we should jack up the trip limit because we're not catching it. But we had effectively a trip limit of zero in Chatham, Gloucester, basically everywhere through big chunks of last summer. There's nowhere – this isn't a position that dealers came to the council with sort of conceptually or hypothetically. It was our reality. I mean, we couldn't land anything. And boats were told just not to go. And so our issue with regards to dogfish isn't the trip limit right now. And as soon as we get the other issues that Chairman Robbins identified in terms of the marketing, in terms of some other things handled, yeah, I'm with you. We should go at this thing in a way that allows us to utilize the full quota. But that's not our problem right now. Our problem is if we jack this trip limit up, now we'll have one boat that could completely fulfill the demand for dogfish on a trip basis that would create a tremendous amount of unpredictability and instability for everyone else. I mean, the trip limit isn't constraining the fishery right now in a lot of ways. It just isn't. And I think we need to work out the market issues, the demand issues, to make sure that we have somewhere to go with this product, because we haven't. We've been shut down consistently. And it's beyond hypothetical now. It's the reality.
PK.
Yeah, but here's the problem with having the trip limit so low. I actually called a dogfish buyer yesterday, and he said down in North Carolina they're not catching many dogs right now. And our boats right here are catching dogfish still. So there is potential where I could sell some dogfish. But with the price being that low and the trip limit being that low, it's not worth them to go. So you have the other end of the spectrum where, you know, if it were 6,000 pounds, you know, it might keep what limited market is available open and still going. So, I mean, I'd rather see it raised just a little bit, 4,000 pounds. I understand it's market-driven, and when there's a lot of dogs around, everybody gets shut down. But in times like this, right now, a perfect example, if it was a little bit higher, some boats might be able to make some money off it.
Terry. Mike.
Yeah, I find this discussion fascinating. When I recall back about 15 years ago when we were battling over dogfish and the concern about collapsed stock and so forth, the message that people were giving was that unless there was a huge volume available, markets would disappear. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know, but it does sort of reiterate the comment that was made earlier on about these sort of short-term aspects of price elasticity really often are short-term, and that the long-term implications of the supply has a tremendous impact on markets and may override what appears to be short-term. As a general matter, I can see the use of trip limits to avoid hitting ACLs and keeping within ACTs and avoid accountability measures and so forth, although I would rather minimize the number of input controls we impose, which really are inefficiencies. But I am not particularly happy about us getting involved in voting on things that seem to really be an issue between the suppliers and the markets and how they govern themselves in their relationships. I wouldn't in any way stand in the way of going forward with the recommendation that I guess is coming from the Mid-Atlantic. But as a general matter, it seems to me that input controls in general ought to be minimized unless there's an obvious conservation reason, and in particular when they really just seem to be an issue between the suppliers and the markets. Thank you.
John?
I've mentioned before that NOAA Fisheries is spending an awful lot of time on the issue of dogfish and not around the management, because as many people have said, it's a serious issue around market. And you know, Sam Rauch and others have spent a lot of time on this issue. The Northwest Pacific Science Center on testing, Bill Karp has been an invaluable link on this. But we have raised limits. We've raised trip limits on this for all the reasons that Dave and others have said, that the dogfish cod interactions, we all know the reasons why we would like to see these limits increased. I think there is a legitimate reason, though, to think about why you'd keep a limit at 4,000 pounds as opposed to 20,000 if you're trying to make sure that there is equal or fair or whatever type of access you want to talk about. Jim, in his presentation, talked about one of the issues being in marketing, being the name, and that's been brought up repeatedly. Well, Dogfish doesn't seem to stop Dogfish Ale from being a hot-selling beer. I would just suggest that if those who are thinking about a name change might want to consider Garfo, We could get a joint Spiny Garfo. We could do a joint marketing promotion.
Wait, it's going to be Maker's Mark. Frank, and then we'll come full circle back to Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Mike. I'm very uncomfortable with regulating this. I mean, if a dealer has a problem with too many fish coming in, the dealer can say we're not going to buy more than 5,000 pounds from a boat or 4,000 pounds. It's up to the dealer to say what he's going to buy, and boats aren't going to be bringing in more fish than the dealer can take. I mean, if they bring them in, they don't have a place to sell them. They're not going to be bringing them in. So if the dealer says, okay, I've got 10 boats coming in tomorrow, this is what I'll take, 5,000 pounds a boat, that's the dealer's choice. It's not up for us to tell the boats and the dealers what they should be bringing into one another. Our job is to make sure that we're trying to catch the 50 million pounds. And right now, we're not even coming anywhere close to it. So, you know, we're saying, well, if we develop the market, we can come back, you know, and raise the trip limit. We don't raise things very quickly. If anybody noticed, it takes a long time to do anything around here. So, I mean, if you say we want to raise the trip limit, it's not going to be done at the next meeting. It's going to take you 6 months or longer to do it, unless you want an emergency action. And I don't think there's any way to justify an emergency action to raise dogfish trip limits. So I would suggest that we try and do something other than 4,000 pounds. Dave.
Yes, thank you. Frank said exactly what I was going to say, and I agree completely with what he said, and I agree completely with what Mike said. You're not – input controls aren't what controls the market. It's supply that controls the market, and you're limiting supply artificially. When we start as a council, when we start setting up artificial markets, we're headed for disaster. I think this trip limit should be just completely done away with, and it'll turn out exactly the way Frank said. I mean, this is supposed to be free enterprise, and if you've got a quota on dogfish, and then you're going to set up on top of that an input control. I don't see how you can have a functioning market, and I agree. Frank described exactly how it works and how it happens. If you want to develop this market, free it up. If you want to increase the demand for the fish, free it up. And he's exactly right. The buyers are going to tell you what they want, and nobody's going to go out and burn fuel and time to catch a fish he can't sell. And any competent fisherman is going to. And you, I'm not throwing any barbs at anybody here, but you know what the dealers want. When you go out, you know what you can sell. If you don't know what you can sell, then you're going to wind up out of this business. So I would recommend eliminating the trip limit. I've been against trip limits all my life anyway. I don't think they do anything useful. But this one, to me, seems particularly malignant, and I agree completely with Mike and completely with Frank on that. Let's just get rid of this trip limit.
Well, we've gone a long way from asking questions. David, and then Ellen had her hand up with a question, I think, earlier, or is that long ago?
Yeah, I believe that both councils have to have the same trip limit, and if we disagree, then it's the choice of the National Marine Fisheries Service. So if there's a difference of opinion between councils, then the service would make the call as to which it would be. But the bottom line is ASMFC is controlling the show here regarding the amount that can be landed, and it's 4,000. And there's a good reason for that. It's a 10-year history of trip limit discussions by ASMFC with the councils. A lot of water has gone under the bridge regarding trip limits. Many of the issues have already been discussed as to why it's 4,000. It was much lower than this initially, and it's worked its way up to 4,000. So I understand why there's a desire not to have a trip limit, but there's going to be a trip limit one way or another, I suspect. Now, Mr. Chairman, would you like a motion?
Yeah, let's just make sure there are no more burning questions. I wasn't going to look anyhow. Yeah, do you have some motions?
Yes, I believe Karen has the motion to put up on the screen. And it's a motion that reflects the fact that we have no shortage of dogfish. The only thing we don't have is a price, which is the tragedy of it all. But be that as it may, that's the way it is. So the motion would be to approve the 2014-15 specs for the spiny dogfish FMP with the following measures: to adopt for spiny dogfish in 2014 an ACL Act of 60.695 million pounds, resulting in a commercial quota of 49.037 million pounds, to adopt a spiny dog fishing 2015, an ACL Act of 62.27 million pounds, resulting in a commercial quota of 50.612 million pounds, to maintain the 4,000-pound trip limits in 2014 and 2015, and to allow up to a 3% RSA in 2014 and 2015. I believe the motion needs to be seconded, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second? To second by Tom Dempsey. PK.
Well, I do have a question. Because on that trip limit specifically, if we were to amend that, and that's why I'm asking my question first, because if we were to amend that, where does that fall? And, like, would it have to go back to Atlantic States, or they've already made the decision at 4,000 pounds? And could you just walk me through that, someone?
I'm going to defer to either one of the to one of the other commission board members rather than talk too much. So, Doug?
I'll take a crack. And yes, it would have to go back to the Atlantic States. And while Mark talked about having something under other items under the agenda next week in a one-hour meeting, I would strongly suspect that we wouldn't be making any changes because it wasn't on the original advertised agenda. Now, we might be able to do something for our May meeting, but that's not going to help with this issue. The only way I could see is if we took up some kind of consideration of this in the specifications and we were able to do some kind of a fax poll of the commissioners midway between. But right now, we've already taken a vote, and that would take a motion to reconsider, as a matter of fact.
And there is a two-meeting requirement for commission action. Tom.
So this is in federal waters, we have a joint spiny dogfish plan with the MID. The commission, I don't believe, is part of that joint plan. So the two councils have a process set up with specifications where I believe, and Mike will correct me if I'm wrong here, if there's a disagreement between the two councils on a specifications action, then it's up to the agency to make a choice. We could always do that. The reality is that unless the ASMFC modifies the trip limits, what we do has really no effect on what a vessel can land. Now, one thing the councils might want to consider, and I guess the MID already considered this, so I don't know if they'd want to consider it again, is we could, I suppose, make some comment or not on trip limits so that should the ASMFC change their trip limit later, we don't have to come back and vote all over again. But there's no guarantee that the ASMFC would do that.
PK.
Well, then my next question was going to go to Chairman Robbins and what the MID thought on that trip limit specifically, if you had any input on that 4,000-pound trip limit.
Mr. Chairman, we did. We already voted on the measure. So that was our part of our specification recommendation.
Frank.
Yeah, thank you. I'm hearing that it's up to the states to decide on this, and it's already been decided, so there's no reason for us to go forward. Well, the logical thing to do would be eliminate it if the states are just going to control it. Or we go forward with something and saying we want it higher and then hopefully, ASMFC will do something with it. But if we sit here and agree with 4,000 pounds, now ASMFC says, oh, we want to increase it. It's 4,000 pounds. It doesn't make a difference if they increase it for the federal vessels. So either now we have to change it or eliminate it, or it's going to stay 4,000 pounds. If ASMFC is controlling what's landed, it makes no difference. We could say there should be no trip limit then. I think we should just eliminate it.
Dave?
Yeah, Frank's exactly right. If it's controlled by ASMFC, there isn't any point for this. And by putting it in place, we tie everybody's hands. And so I would make a motion to amend. I wasn't going to do it this way, but let me throw it out there. A motion to amend to eliminate the 4,000-pound trip limit.
Is there a second to this motion? Second by Frank. David.
We're wasting our time. The service is not going to approve a zero trip limit. there's going to be a difference. The MID will say 4,000. We say zero. We say no trip limit. It's going to be 4,000. This is a waste of time.
Other comments at this hour of the day, considering we still have skates to do? John.
I may be overruled by Mike or Gene, but in thinking about PK's question on 6 and the relationship between us and the MID and us and ASMFC, if, in thinking back on your question, which almost was a motion, and not on the elimination, just following through thought experiment of 6, not the elimination one. If the New England Council put forth 6, then it seems to me that we would be in a position of having to say, are we going to go with the MID at 4 or New England at 6 or, I don't know, maybe something in between. I'm not sure. And the ASMFC, when it meets next week, wouldn't know what we were going to do. But you would be sending a signal to the ASMFC that, hey, not everyone's on board with 4, that somebody wants to raise it from 4. And maybe that would make a difference. Maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But at least there would be a message that somebody thinks it should go up from 4. But it would be a message. If you voted 4, there wouldn't be a message about that at all. And I don't know what we would do between 4 and 6. I don't know. We'd have to look at it. We'd have to think about it. There have been good arguments back and forth. So, but we wouldn't make a decision between now and ASMFC. We'd look at that. But at least there would be some message to the ASMFC that New England, if that vote passed, thinks that the trip limit ought to go up higher. If it's unlimited, that's a bigger stretch.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light with what the RA just said, I'm okay with doing 6 because really all we're doing here is sending a message. When in the elimination, then what we're doing is just freeing everybody else's hands up. I would prefer to simply eliminate it and then the MID can decide what they want to do and the ASMFC can decide what they want to do. And they wouldn't have to use any particular fixed number. But if everybody's more comfortable with 6, then I'm willing to withdraw this motion and redo it as 6,000. Whatever is the better tactic here.
Mike.
You know, I'm not more comfortable with 6. I think, as Dave said, this is, as a practical matter, it's going to end up, at least for the foreseeable future, the next year, as 4,000, because that's what the states have agreed, and ultimately that's where the fish are landed. So I think what we're having is a discussion that's more of a philosophical one. It's not a practical one. And on a philosophical basis, I'm just not in favor of a trip limit in this fishery, and I can't justify 6 any better than I can justify 4 or 3 or any other number. My view is we either accept as a practical matter, we support what the MID did and live with the 4, or we just do as this amendment proposes. We're silent on the issue and let the practicalities play out. But I don't think we should try to somehow come up with some rationale for something that's better on the fly, as we would be doing during the course of such a meeting. So I can very easily support this proposed amendment. On a philosophical basis, as a practical matter, I can also live with the 4 because that's in reality where it's going to end up. So, thank you.
Ellen.
I've been sitting here listening very carefully, and I felt that I needed to say something. We've tried in the past to develop a dogfish fishery, and it seems like every time we've gotten to the point where it has been become a viable business, some rug has been pulled out from underneath the industry. And we're working extremely hard on many, many fronts to open up a market for the spiny dogfish. If that market opens up and we have a 4,000-pound trip limit, I fear that it will not be sustainable. And therefore, I would support no trip limit, but I don't think that that is going to happen. I would rather be cautious and go with a 6,000 or 7,000-pound trip limit. That would give us enough to come back. If a market opens up in the middle of the year, we can come back and ask for a higher trip limit at that point, but at least it won't tie our hands to be able to open up a market. Thank you.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the motion. The following reason, regardless of whether we pick without a similar number to the Mid-Atlantic Council or pick a different number higher, should ASMFC revisit this and come up with an innovative approach to managing the dogfish quotas, federal permit holders will be stuck with one of those two numbers, be they the same or they different, and the only parties available themselves of this innovative approach, should it materialize, would be state-permitted fishermen. So we'll have a conflict. So my instinct right now is to clear the slate of federal possession limits, let the state see what they can come up with. We stick with what we have. Well, we'll stick with what we have. We come up with a bright idea, and we might take a couple of meetings to get it done, then we'll go with that. Thank you.
The comments from the council. Any comments from the audience? Ted.
Yeah, I support the motion to eliminate it or at least significantly move this up. This market isn't working. And, first of all, the Baitsgate fishery actually works with the processors controlling it. There's a handful of dealers. They tell the boats when to go. The boats go. When they have the orders, they come in and the product is sold. That's exactly the way the Little Skate fishery works. It's been working quite well. The fact of the matter is that the processors already tell us when to go and when not to go. It would increase their role in determining when product comes in, and as a fisherman, I'm wary of that. But I recognize that we have something that is not working and has not been working for years, and it's working against all our other rebuilding efforts. So I think throwing up 4,000 is a bad idea. It sends the wrong signal. We need to do something differently. This needs to be a directed fishery with a larger limit. If I'm reading the graph on page 28 right, the directed fishery itself has enormous discards, and that's a function of low landing limits. I mean, when you're discarding, 61%? If I'm reading this thing right, that's when you're targeting dogfish, that's telling you your limits are too low. It's very hard to hit the right number when you're out there fishing for them. So I'd support a much higher limit. And we're going to have to let the processors drop the price. If the limits are higher, the boats can make the numbers work. We'll go out and we'll bring in more product at a lower price. And we're going to have to deal with the degree to which the processors control the market and control the flow of goods. But the lower price should give them opportunity to access more markets. We have processor and flow to market issues in the monkfish fishery with Korea. So, this isn't something new, but this system isn't working, and we need to send a distinct and clear signal that, we need to get these fish out of the ocean, and we need to find a way to make it profitable for fishermen to bring them in, even at low prices. My monkfish boats, we stopped monkfishing, and we went dogfishing, and we dogfished right through the summer to we went into dry dock. So we never got told not to bring them in. We got restrained. They told us a few days a week they may not want them, and then they actually backed off of that. Price fell from 28 cents down to 18, but that was as low as it got. So I think some of the marketing problems may be trucking and distance from the processors, and a lower price should facilitate more processors getting in the business, which is also a good thing. So I support the motion to eliminate, or I would say at least get up to 6,000 pounds and give us a chance to try and make these numbers work.
Does anybody else wish to comment on the motion to amend? Doug?
Well, this is an interesting conversation. I wish we'd had this kind of a conversation and this kind of input at the ASMSC meeting. I know even in the past I've had processors come to me and lobby for actually a lower quota than what was allowable biologically because of the concern about markets. They've also lobbied to maintain the trip limit, and I think we can send a message here, but I think it's correct that it's going to be difficult to change things at ASMSC unless we could potentially do something mid-season, whether that's going to be doable or not. But I also think there needs to be some serious discussion about what the appropriate trip limit. You know, PKA has put up that, well, 6,000 pounds might make it viable. Is that a trip viable at the 12 cent a pound price? Is that really true? Is that, or does it need to be higher than that? That's the kind of analysis I think we need to know. And then there is the concern about that was brought up several times at the ASMSC meeting because we were availed the Mid-Atlantic Council's consideration of a 20,000-pound trip limit to accommodate some of the offshore boats that, as Dr. Pierce has relayed, that the processors felt, you know, you could have a couple boats come in with the total need for the processing during that day as opposed to having it spread out. There's some things that need to be thought out about here before we start increasing the trip limits, but... So at this point, proving this motion would be sort of a message, a show, but would not have any real practical results for this year.
Any final comments on the motion to amend? Okay, seeing none, those who support the motion to amend, please indicate so. Those opposed? And those abstaining? The motion carries 12 to 2 to 1. Two. To 2. 12 to 2. John. Okay. So we're back on to the main motion as amended. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, those who support the main motion as amended, please indicate so. And those opposed? And those abstaining? The main motion carries 12 to 2 to 2. David.
There's a lot of talk about markets, and frankly, we'll never get the important market back, the European Union market back, which has been responsible in the past for prices 28 cents a pound, thereabouts. We're at 12 cents now, which is a tragedy for the fishermen that have been depending on dogfish for quite a long time now. Some relatively small amounts at decent prices have been a good day's pay for many boats. So I would ask, Mr. Chairman, if... the regional administrator either now or sometime in the near future provides us with an update as to what sort of progress the service has had regarding the issue of PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, the dropping of the tolerance level in the European Union. Where do we stand with that? I've spoken with members of the industry, their representatives, and they've indicated that the U.S. government is addressing it. Trying to deal with this very difficult issue. Frankly, I think it's a created problem for the dogfish fishery. A very unfortunate created problem. There is no public health risks. I could say that because I did my PhD on this particular issue. Frankly, I think it's being used as a weapon, as a tool to do away with, to destroy the market for spiny dogfish, not just here, not just for fishermen here in New England, but elsewhere throughout the U.S. Personal opinion. So if, that's my request. Can we be given an update, because that will have a great bearing on future ASMFC decisions regarding the possession limit, for example. So what's the progress?
Well, I wish you were the gate to the EU. That's, I guess, what I wish. We are doing testing. The industry is doing testing to understand how serious the PCB issue is. The EU is a major part of the market, as you know. I don't pretend to be an expert in how they make decisions. I know it's complicated, and I know the industry is much more expert at entry points and how to influence that than I am, or that other members of the federal government are. I know they're working that issue very hard. And I know that that the industry is also working with FDA on and USDA and other ways to develop domestic market, but the action's always been in the EU. So I think that I'll just say that, you know, we're in frequent communication with the industry about how to do this. The standards that are set right now are the numbers are very, very low. And I suppose arguable. You're probably an expert in that. So we're gathering information, and the industry's using that information to try and make persuasive arguments. But we're not there yet.
Is there any further business concerning dogfish? I think chairman of the dogfish committee was going to have his hands full next Thursday. Do folks want to take a couple minutes while we set up for skates? Yeah, let's take a couple minutes and we'll dispense with skates. Hopefully, in not too long a time.